Welcome to the Gospel Addict Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Bryan. This is a podcast containing content of people whose lives are addicted to the gospel of Jesus. What is the gospel? The gospel is the good news that the everlasting and ever-increasing joy of the never-boring, ever-satisfying Christ is ours freely and eternally by faith in the sin-forgiving death and the hope-giving resurrection of Jesus Christ. Thanks so much for listening. Hi, this is Greg Bryan. I'm here with a good friend of mine. Thank you, Lee, for getting together. Thanks for your willingness to share a little bit about what God has done in your life and how God has used this ministry called CLC, not just in your life, but in the lives of countless men in Northeastern Ohio. And so I'm real curious to learn about that. But first, why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, sure, Greg, and thanks for the opportunity to visit today. I'm a native of Western Pennsylvania. I spent my entire career in the financial services business. I've been married for 40 years to Mim. We have two grown children and three grandchildren at the moment, and a fourth one on the way that's due in January. As I mentioned, I spent my entire career in the financial services industry. The last 10 years have been spent here in Northeast Ohio with a little bank called First Merit, which is now Huntington Bank, which is a top 20 bank in the country based in Columbus, Ohio. I tell people, I thought I was coming here for First Merit Bank 10 years ago, but it turns out I'm here for the kingdom. And the CLC, Christian Leadership Concepts, which is a 40-year-old faith-based organization in Nashville, Tennessee, has been a big part of my life for the last 10 years.
Exactly what is CLC? How would you summarize it?
Well, CLC was created 40 years ago as the brainchild of a gentleman named Dr. Hal Haddon. Hal Haddon actually started his career in Young Life, and then I think he was actually with the Navigators for a while. And he developed a heart for men. And he had this idea, he was doing a lot of one-on-one mentoring with men, and he had this idea of developing a curriculum that men could go through over a two-year period of time that would help them become better husbands, better fathers, better community leaders, better colleagues at work, and better Christ followers. And he actually approached a couple dozen of the men that he had been mentoring on a one-on-one basis and asked them if they'd have any interest in going through this journey with him. And he got, I don't know, 18, 20 guys that said yes. And he jokingly says, then I had to tell him I'm only going to be a week ahead of them writing the curriculum for the first time. But that was the first CLC group. And today there's probably close to 10,000 men that have gone through CLC in over 70 cities in the United States and Canada. And CLC today is a two-year-long leadership equipping program that helps men become better Christ followers, better husbands, better fathers, better workers, better neighbors, and grow in their faith walk at the same time.
And I've actually had some personal experience with CLC myself. I'm in my second group, and I'll tell you what, it's a great experience. I'm so glad that you came to Northeastern Ohio and kind of exposed churches and the body of Christ to this ministry. So let's go back a little bit. How did you first hear about it? How did you first get involved?
So I was worshiping at a church in Western Pennsylvania called Orchard Hill. They hired a men's ministry pastor from Tennessee by the name of Danny Parker. He came to Orchard Hill with this concept of it's a disciple-making program, CLC. And I was approached to be in one of the first CLC groups. And the way it was laid out to me was it's a group of 12 men that'll meet weekly for 2 years, every week. Each meeting's 2 hours long, and in the meeting, they'll study scripture, they'll read Christian authors outside the Bible. There'll be a faith component of it, there'll be a fellowship component of a CLC meeting, and costs about $400 for the curriculum at that time. And I thought to myself, that's crazy. Why would anybody sign up for 2 years? And, oh, by the way, the groups meet at 6 a.m. in the morning. I thought to myself, you know, why would anybody sign up for that? But the fact of the matter is, as I watched other men get involved with the program, I realized that there was a void in my life, the void being wanting to have a closer relationship with Christ. And, in fact, CLC helped me do that. We coined the phrase the man dance. Everybody knows what the man dance is. You get a bunch of guys together, and they can talk about politics, they can talk about sports, they can talk about golf, they can talk about their jobs, they can talk about all kinds of things. But guys are notorious for being like a mile wide and an inch deep. It's hard for men to be in intimate relationship with other men. And what I came to find out with CLC is that it created the opportunity for men to be in intimate fellowship with one another and also to develop a more intimate relationship with Christ in the process.
Okay, so you mentioned that God brought you from Pittsburgh to Northeastern Ohio, not just for a job, but for the kingdom. Can you kind of tell the story, what God did, and how CLC just started to spread? Because I believe it's impacted hundreds and hundreds of men at this point. How did that start?
Well, as I mentioned, I took a position with this little bank in Akron, Ohio. I thought I was coming here for First Merit. I wasn't here for more than a couple weeks when the Lord put on my heart that maybe one of the reasons I was in Northeast Ohio was to introduce men to CLC. I had actually gone through it twice in Pittsburgh, the first time as a participant in a group with 11 other men. And then about a year after that group ended, two men from my first group came to me and said, "Hey, would you help us facilitate another group, take eight or nine other guys through the program?" So I actually had done it twice. And other than accepting Christ personally, I would say CLC is probably the most significant thing I've done in my faith journey and in my career. So I'm here in Northeast Ohio. It's not like I'm looking for more to do. I've got a brand new job. I'm in way over my head. I'm actually, the first 6 months, I was commuting back and forth to Pittsburgh. I'd come in Monday morning, go back Wednesday night to spend time with my family and go to church, and come back Thursday morning, go back Friday night. So I wasn't looking for more to do. I was in way over my head, but the Lord put on my heart that maybe I should be talking to men about CLC, and I couldn't shake it. In fact, looking back at it, I realized one of the things I missed by relocating to Northeast Ohio was the friendship and fellowship I had with other men in my church. And there was a real void in my life because I had walked away from all that in taking this new job. And so I guess looking back at it, I think maybe selfishly I was trying to fill a void in my life by developing friendships with other men. Little did I know that that would lead to me getting involved with a couple of churches, talking to their men's ministry pastors. And it took about a year, but we got a couple CLC groups started in Akron and in Hudson, Ohio. And then things really took off. And today, 10 years later, there's probably over 700 men in over a dozen churches throughout Northeast Ohio that have gone through this two-year-long leadership equipping program.
That is so cool just to hear what God has done. I'm curious if you could just share one or two stories of some real life change and things that stood out to you. And you can change people's names to protect their identities, but just kind of give people a feel for what happens in one of these groups in the course of the 2 years.
Boy, I've got a lot of stories, so you might have to cut me off. I tell people that if a man signs up to go through CLC, he's signing up to be transformed. The transformation may occur to him, it may occur to his family members, it may occur to other people that he knows, but he's signing up to be transformed. And so there are all kinds of stories of transformation, big and small, that have come out of these CLC groups. I think of, and I'm not going to even mention names, I think of, so the way the groups start is they start with an overnight, and men come together. Sometimes they know some of the other men that are going to be going through the two-year journey with them, and sometimes they don't. I'm thinking of a group that started at a church here in Ohio. Two men walked into the group, and they realized that they had been in a legal dispute with each other. And the dispute, I think, had been over the way one man's son had treated the other man's daughter at some point. So it was more than just business. It was personal. These two guys walked in having no idea that two people that had been at in an altercation in the court system would then find themselves in the same CLC group together. It didn't take long before they took each other aside and said, what are we supposed to make of this? And they agreed very quickly that they wanted to demonstrate what true reconciliation was about, and they went through that two-year journey together. I think of another story where two men showed up at a CLC overnight whose families knew each other. It's a sad story. I know both these men. I'm not going to share the names of the men. But the one man had lost his son, I want to say, in a tragic accident at an amusement park. And when that happened, and I think the son had just gotten out of high school and he's on the way to college. So the summer between high school and college, this one man had lost his son to a tragic accident. His son's best friend and their family, of course, came around that man and his family to minister to him as they went through the grieving period. I think a year later, that the best friend of the man whose son had died was killed in a car accident. And so that man who's lost the first son, he and his wife came to rally around their son's best friend's family as they went through their grieving process. I wasn't living here at the time. I heard the story after I had moved here. I happened to know both these men. I would say one of the men had processed the loss of his son much better than the other. In fact, when I met the man who was still struggling with the loss of his son probably 10 years later, while I didn't know he had lost his son, I knew that there was a void in this man's life. Fast forward, these two men haven't seen each other for 10 years. They end up in a CLC group together. They reconnect. And I think through that process, the healing in the first man's life that lost his son, that had never really, not that you ever recover, but I think he was still struggling with the grieving process. I think he improved and made progress through more of his grief as a result of the CLC experience with this other brother and the other 10 men in the group. I share these two stories with you because, you know, you couldn't create these. You couldn't make these things up. Only the Holy Spirit in His infinite wisdom can put people together in circumstances like that. And it's just been fascinating to watch. And so those are two sort of profound stories that I'm aware of that you maybe think of when you ask the question.
What would you say to the man who might be listening to this who is hesitant to get involved with a CLC group? Maybe he's learned about CLC. He's been invited to a group, but he's kind of on the fringe and a little unsure. What do you have anything to say to a man like that?
Well, I guess it's not what I have to say. Let me just say what other men say once they get into CLC groups. I've had CEOs of companies who are very, very busy people tell me that their CLC program each week is the highlight of their week. They rearrange their whole schedule so they can be with their brothers at 6 a.m. on a Friday morning. Not all groups meet at 6 a.m., but that seems to be when many of them meet. I have men that tell me, month into their CLC journey, what are we going to do when this is over? I've never experienced anything like this. And they got 23 more months to go, and they're worried about what they're going to do when it's over. You know, CLC now, it's like 20 or 25 hours a month to do it. So we've removed the barrier, the financial barrier. There's scholarship programs for anybody that can't afford 20 or 25 hours a month. I mean, I'll pay for it if a guy wants to do it. The biggest objection men have is time. And I would say to you, everybody's time starved. Nobody thinks they have 2 hours a week to meet on a Friday morning. Nobody thinks they have another hour to 2 hours a week during the course of the week to do their 20, 30 minutes of prep/study time every day. But most people I know find that they can what is it we say? Our, the amount of time we have expands or contracts based on how much we have to do each day. And so sometimes the best thing to do is to be busier to help you organize your time more effectively. And so, you know, I guess the final thing I would say is I'm not trying to sell anybody on doing CLC because I want a man to be involved in it because they feel called to it. And the way you find out if you're called to something is you pray about it. So don't just make an emotional decision or an intellectual decision about being in or not being in a CLC group. Spend some time in prayer. Spend some time with your spouse, if you're married, praying about it. Ask a couple Christian brothers, particularly the ones that may have approached you about the idea or that you're thinking of doing it with, to pray with you. And it'll become pretty clear whether it's something that the Lord wants you to do. I don't want to sell anybody on doing CLC, but I do want to challenge men to, if they feel like they're called, that they respond to the call.
What would you say your hope is for CLC in, say, Northeastern Ohio?
CLC is a curriculum. So this is not about CLC. This is about helping men become in closer personal relationships with their Savior, Jesus Christ. That's my hope for men in Northeast Ohio and in Western Pennsylvania and any place else that I happen to meet men. If CLC is a venue or an avenue that helps men do that, that's great. Back to the question about, you know, what do we do when this is over? I say to men all the time, if you go through this two-year journey where you meet with 11 other brothers on a weekly basis and you go through the, you know, become more knowledgeable with Scripture and in your personal walk with the Lord, and when you're done with the 2 years, if nothing else changes, it's been an intellectual exercise, but transformation hasn't really occurred. So the stories I like, back maybe to the transformation question, are stories of men that, when CLCs ended, what they've done with their lives. And I there's two stories I share. One is a story about a friend of mine named John that went through one of the first CLC groups in Hudson, Ohio. At our church, we have a gospel night a couple times a year. It's where an African-American church in the inner city of Akron, their music team meets with our music team at our church up in Hudson, and we sing gospel music. And one night, my wife and I went to gospel night at our church, and I walked in, and who do I see in the front row but John, with about six or eight middle school boys in tow. And I'm thinking, we go through gospel night, great night of worship, and I'm looking at John, boy, I thought John had daughters. I wonder what he's doing with these boys. So at the reception following the program, I went up to him and said, John, good to see you. I said, I got to ask you, who are those guys you're with? Because I thought you had daughters. He said, I do have daughters, Lee. But my daughters are in middle school. And these are eight young men in middle school that I've decided to disciple because I want my daughters to end up being in a relationship with young men that know the Lord. And while none of these men may be the ones that my daughters end up with, I figure if I can do something that mentors and disciples these young men in their faith journey, I'm making a difference. My other story is my friend Tony, who, as our CLC group was ending, sent an email out where he talked about the fact that he can't believe how quickly the 2 years has gone by. He can't believe the impact that CLC has had in his life. He shares in this email that he's been convicted to serve more in his Judea and his Samaria. He says he has a job where he's on the road. He leaves Monday, comes back Friday, and he sort of neglected his own community, what he refers to as his Judea and his Samaria. He said, so I've really spent some time thinking about what I want to do when CLC ends. I've decided a couple things. One, I'm going to start taking seminary classes because I've been always daydreaming about whether that's something I should do, and CLC has convinced me that I should at least take a class or two and see what it's all about. Two, I'm going to get involved with Urban Vision, which is an inner city ministry here in Akron, and I'm going to rehab a house because this is an inner city ministry that reclaims old homes, fixes them up for either people on their staff or people that live and are served by the community to live and work in that community and try to revitalize the community for the gospel. three, my wife and I are going to still lead the young married couple ABF at our church. The end result of that is that my friend Tony ends up starting a bike ride that challenges people to ride from Cincinnati to Cleveland to raise money for Urban Vision. Today, that bike ride has become the Micah 6-8 ministry at our church that now our church gives away hundreds of thousands of dollars to ministries both in our city, in our nation, and abroad. And it's all because of the vision that my friend Tony had to get involved to do something in the inner city on the heels of his CLC experience. And I share all this because it doesn't really matter if you choose to mentor middle school boys, or if you choose to go to seminary, or if you choose to raise money for inner school missions, that inner city missions that become an international fundraising effort for a large non-denominational church in Hudson, Ohio. But you've used CLC as a stepping stone to grow in your faith and to impact the greater kingdom, or what I would refer to as the Big C Church.
How can people get involved? How can they find out more about CLC?
Sure. Well, the founder, Hal Haddon, is handed the reins of the day-to-day presidency job of CLC to Craig Fry, who's both Hal and Craig are ordained pastors. CLC is headquartered in Nashville, Tennessee. You can Google it, Christian Leadership Concepts. In all likelihood, if somebody's listening to this and they're in a major metropolitan area in the United States, there's a CLC group that's hopefully at least one that's taken place there. If not, we can connect you to somebody that has run a CLC group in your area. But you don't necessarily have to hook up with somebody that's been through CLC. Most of the men in Northeast Ohio that led CLC groups had never done it before. So if somebody's listening to this and they feel called to lead a CLC in an area and they're in the middle of Maine or something like that, where we probably haven't had a CLC group, we can take you through the training. We can do it via Skype, or we can do it over the phone, or they can fly to Nashville, or we can come to them. In a couple hours, you can learn to facilitate a CLC group. I tell people, if you've led a Bible study in your home, if you've run a sales meeting at work, you can probably learn to facilitate a CLC group. CLC's, we've been doing this 40 years, so we've got a pretty good training program on how to go from recruiting men to the program, to running your first meeting, to conducting the meetings on a weekly basis, to handling difficult questions that may come up, to discipling men as you go through the process. So there's a lot of resources out there.
I really encourage people to check out this ministry, CLC. I know I've personally benefited from it, and I hope to continue to stay involved with it. It's a great fit for my passion, which is making disciples. So thank you so much, Lee, for your time. We're sitting here in Panera. Appreciate you taking the time to speak about this and share those stories. And do you have any final things you want to say to our listeners?
Yeah, so I would just share a personal story. I mentioned to you I did CLC twice, and I was approached by a man in our church back in Pittsburgh to see if I'd go through it again. And I thought about it. I thought, I've done it twice, and I think I'm ready for another challenge at the time. But I said to Greg, why don't you ask my son, Rob, if he'd be interested in going through it. He had seen me go through the journey twice. Rob had just finished college. He was living at home with us, getting his career started. So Greg reached out to my son, Rob, and Rob reached out to two of his buddies. And the three of them, Rob, his two friends, joined my friend Greg's CLC group. And so picture this. My son, who's in his early 20s, and two of his friends are in a CLC group with my friend Greg, who's in his mid-50s. And I'm thinking to myself, well, this is going to be interesting because there's a pretty big age gap, between the two constituencies that are represented here. Nine guys in their 50s and, three guys in their 20s. Well, 2-3 months into it, my son's one friend gets engaged to a young woman in Philadelphia, and he quits his job in Pittsburgh and moves across the state. My son's other friend decides to go get his master's in music at a college down in Lexington, Kentucky. So now it's my son Rob at age 23 with Greg and nine other guys that are old enough to be my son's father. And I'm thinking to myself, oh man, this is too bad. I mean, it's unfortunate that this is sort of unraveling. And I'd see Greg at church, and I'd say to him, hey, I really appreciate you hanging in there with my son, Rob. I know it can't be much fun for you to have, you know, a 20-something-year-old, you know, that you're sort of hanging out with every Friday morning. And he says, oh, no, we love Rob. He's great. It turns out Greg ran HR for the largest healthcare system in Pennsylvania. Also in that group was my son Rob's orthodontist, the guy that put his braces on when he was 12. Also in that group was one of the top brokers in the financial services industry in Pittsburgh, and my son's always had an interest in the stock market. In fact, today is in a brokerage business, not with that gentleman, but with a competing firm. And the president of one of the largest privately held companies in the country is in that CLC group with my son Rob. And here's what I learned. My son would come home and he would say to me, yeah, Dad, I'm struggling with this thing at work, or I'm struggling with this relationship. What do you think I should do? And I would say, well, what I think you should do isn't that important. Have you talked to your CLC brothers? And he said, well, yeah, I have. I said, well, what do they tell you? And he said, well, they tell me the same thing you'd probably tell me, Dad. And I laughed. And here's what I learned. There's a point in every young man's life where we stop listening to our father, not because we don't love him or we don't admire him, but because he's our dad and we think we know more about things than our father does. And what I figured out is that with my son being in a CLC group with 8 or 9 other guys that were contemporaries of mine, I couldn't have picked better mentors for my son than these 9 guys, because I knew he was going to be getting the same kind of godly advice and wisdom from them that I'd be giving him. So I'm so grateful that my son found his way into a CLC group. He did the whole 2 years. These guys still get together if the NCAA tournaments are going on. One of them has a party at their house or a Super Bowl party, and my son, and now my son's wife is at that party with them. My son's got mentors for life in these men. My son and I obviously still have a great relationship, and I'm grateful for that, but I'm particularly grateful that that he's got these 9 other men in his life. The last part of the story as it relates to my son is this. We moved to Ohio. My son moves off into his own apartment. We came back at Thanksgiving 1 year. We're sitting around waiting for my wife and daughter to show up, so we go out to dinner, and I'm having one of these great conversations with my son that sort of goes like this. I haven't seen him for a couple months. I said, how you been, Rob? Good. What's new? Not much. Anything going on? Nothing really. And I'm thinking to myself, for crying out loud, work with me a little bit. You know, I haven't seen you for 3 months. I'm having a conversation. I'm getting one-word answers. Finally, he says to me, oh, by the way, Dad, I'm getting baptized next Wednesday night at church. I said, what? He said, yeah, I'm getting baptized. I said, well, how did that come about? He said, well, a couple CLC brothers of mine and I realized we'd never stood for adult baptism. We decided we wanted to get baptized together. So I share that story with people because that's, again, story of transformation. My son's been transformed. Our family's been transformed. His relationship with his wife and his child and his, Lord willing, next child that's due in January will be impacted because of the 2-year journey that my son went through at CLC. He's now, I couldn't be more proud of him. He's now the elder at the campus church of the venue that he worships at. And I guess I would close with this. The reason I think these men that sort of took my son under their wing were so willing to do that is because they saw something in him that they hoped their sons would become, a young man who takes his faith journey seriously, wants to grow and walk in his relationship with the Lord longer and more in depth.
Well, there you have it. Check out CLC. Look up on Google Christian Leadership Concepts. Check out the website. See if there's a group that you can get involved with in your community. Thanks for listening.